Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here we go.
Have no place to go.
Yeah, here we go.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Are we covering this yet? Here we go.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Yeah, we don't know the words either. It's 6:11.
Welcome to the program. Hi, I'm Steve,
your radio friend. And at 9 o'clock, we're on TV on CLTV. We're on Twitter at Cochran Show. We're on Facebook at Steve Cochran Show. We're on your texter situation and your phoner situation at 312-981-7200. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you today?
I didn't sleep much enough.
Is this because you're...
I can't sleep anymore. I've decided I've lost the skill.
It's a tough skill to keep up.
Yeah.
You got to hone it.
Cut back on the caffeine. I don't have caffeine now after 9 a.m.
Yeah.
No, I just drink a Diet Coke in the morning and then probably one at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I was occasionally having one at dinner. So I've cut back on that.
That's a mistake.
Do you notice when you play golf, you
stick
get
to
more...
the wine.
Want to play golf?
You know, just when you play golf, you get more tired. So maybe you should play more golf. Then you get more tired. You get more sleep.
Yeah, that's possible.
Hey, I'm just trying to find a way for you to play some more golf.
I don't know. I got up at 1 a couple nights ago. I got up at 2 last night. So I guess that's improvement.
That's
big improvement.
I'm shooting
for 3 tonight.
Are you thinking too much?
I'm always thinking too much, Mary. I'm constantly thinking
that's
too much.
That's the problem.
I'm thinking about what I can do for the world, what I can do for you guys.
Stop thinking.
What I can do for the show.
Yeah, so did you come up with anything?
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing,
no ideas?
Top to bottom.
He tossed and turned all night.
Zero. Got nothing.
You need one of those white noise machines.
And what, like my 18-month-old granddaughter uses?
Yeah.
Abigail.
Yeah. They're actually good for adults. They make you kind of stop focusing on stuff.
Wait, I got you one of those. Remember for Christmas one year? And it was the different sounds that you could play?
Yeah, tried it.
Didn't work out so well. Okay.
Kept me awake.
Doesn't it make you
go to
the
sleep.
Bathroom?
I was trying to sleep, and I go, what the hell is a babbling brook? Why did I fall asleep next to a creek?
I'm going
to
need that back.
Oh, you are?
I still have the gift receipt. No, I'm kidding.
It probably makes you get up more.
Thought that might help you.
Feel like you
got to
go.
It's supposed to make you relax. It's
got sounds of like thunderstorm.
I actually only pee once a day now. Yeah, at noon. Just right at noon. So I've cut back on that as well.
I think you're dehydrated.
You know, here's the thing. Medically, it's fine. It's the sleep thing. There's no medical thing going on. I just have lost the skill to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal tonight is when I normally get up, 4.
Why don't you try going to bed earlier?
Oh, no, 3. Tomorrow's 4.
All right, why don't you go to bed at 8? That way you'll lay in bed till 9.
Yeah, I do go to bed too late.
Do you read?
Yeah, constantly. Yeah, I'm reading right now.
No, I
this entire opening is scripted.
In bed.
It's a teleprompter.
Yeah. On my phone, but I read stuff on my phone.
Okay, that's not good. Okay, we got it.
That's the problem.
What do you mean?
What they say is the light from your cell phone, you're not supposed to read your iPad, your cell phone, or your Mac, you know, your computer, before you go to sleep. You can read a book, but something about the lighting messes with your sleep.
Who else is going to prep this show? You know, I got to know what I'm talking about.
Well, you can also adjust the lighting on your phone to night settings so that it's a lesser brightness that actually helps, too.
Look at Mr. Fancy Pants with all the things. So I got a babbling brook. Let me just write this down.
Okay. Yeah.
I need Miami Sound Machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I need less light. What else do I want? No caffeine.
No caffeine.
Wine.
What kind of fun am I having?
How about more golf?
More golf.
More golf, and I'm telling you, wine.
Listen, no, because you're drinking nonstop, Mary. It's not right for me.
I gave up drinking pretty much for about the last couple months.
Oh, pretty much?
No, I did, except at a party or something. Maybe I've had 2 drinks in the past 2 months.
Dave, and I'm sorry. This is blasphemy.
Sorry, Dave.
Mary's the one who's talking wine.
I'm talking about the not drinking.
I feel so much better and I sleep better.
Hmm. I had a glass of wine Sunday, which is literally about one of the two I'd have an entire year.
Yeah. Wine is just sugar.
You think it's just, you know what it is? I'm probably hungover from Sunday.
Yes, you are.
I had the glass of wine on Sunday. That's why that's not a two-day hangover, three-day, whatever today is. I don't even know what day it is.
Wednesday. Hump day.
That was a bender.
Here's the good news. The more tired I am, the better the show.
Is that true?
Yeah, usually.
I guess we're about to find out.
Yeah, we'll put it to the test. Warrior games today. More on that. Karen Conti in studio later on the Supreme Court. Decisions are making. Decisions will have to make. Superintendent Eddie Johnson, there's another terrible shooting in Austin last night. How many dead?
They had two last I heard.
Confirmed. And after 9 o'clock, Vicki Lawrence, the great Vicki Lawrence, will be on the phone. What is she doing? What's she plugging? Why is she on the show? I mean, she's Vicki Lawrence, but why is she on the show?
I don't know. She's so funny. She must have a book or an appearance.
I don't know.
She's great. You've known her a long time.
I have known her a long time. You know, we were in summer stock together.
She's not sleeping either.
I don't even know what summer stock is. What's Vicki Lawrence plugging? Sandberg, what is it? Right to a microphone, Sandberg. Tell me what she's plugging. Why am I putting her on the show? What is this? What is the answer to this?
I have to look it up. I forgot. No, because look, if you look at your rundown.
Yeah, it says Vicki Lawrence phone call.
Yeah, she'll be on the phone. And
she's plugging her phone?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that seems right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sandberg will let us all know, and then we'll know. I put too much trust in Sandberg to book the show.
You're just overtired right now.
Overtired? Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Before we go any further, I don't know if this is going to come up in the top six at six, but I'd like to play this a few times today. If anyone today can explain this to me, I'll give you anything you want off the prize list. But you have to explain to me what this person is saying. Okay. And by the way, I'll have to agree with your explanation. Mm-hmm. So you have to convince me. Explain and convince.
An audio clue.
You may recognize the voice. It's cut one. If you could play cut one, Jake.
For the country, we have to have health care. And it can't be Obamacare, which is melting down. The other side is saying all sorts of things before they even knew what the bill was. This will be great if we get it done. And if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like, and that's okay, and I understand that very well.
What? At least somebody understands it very well.
What the hell is he talking about? If we don't get it done, I understand that, and that's okay. But what?
It's like spinach. If you don't want to eat your spinach, it's
no, it's not. Don't blame spinach.
Talk about someone who needs sleep.
He just doesn't. How does not someone on his staff, you know the giant vaudeville hook? You'd see like an old Three Stooges movies.
Yeah, the cage.
Let me just throw the giant hook out and just pull him off stage.
Big gorilla arm comes out and pulls him.
Can I hear it again? Play it again.
If we get it done, and if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like.
There's nothing. You can't make sense of it.
He knows words. He knows all the words.
Listen, I hear he has the best words.
He's got the best words.
We'll get to the top six at six. Why is Vicki Lawrence on the show?
Well, you know she's an Emmy award-winning person, but she's traveling the country to talk about her personal experience with a little-known disease called idiopathic urethra, a form of chronic hives.
Oh, fantastic. That'll be hilarious.
With hives or hives?
Hives.
Oh, hives.
Chronic hives with Vicki Lawrence after nine. That'll be hysterical.
Approximately 1.5 million people are affected.
Oh, see? She'll bring awareness to it. Yeah.
That'll be funny.
We know her from Mama's Family, Carol Burnett Show.
No, we know her. You're not old enough to know her.
Is she going to do Mama? She has to do Mama.
Oh, I love Mama.
Yeah, definitely. Right after the chronic hives, we'll ask her to do the bits.
Boy, I'm itching to hear this.
All right, listen. One of you smack yourself on the seventh floor. 6:18, almost 6:19.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Men.
It's hard to figure out which party is more useless, the Republicans or the Democrats. But since the Republicans are the ones in power, they get more attention now. And Mitch McConnell would like less. Captain Charming has delayed a vote on his health care bill until after a congressional recess.
Did you say Captain Charming?
Oh, he is so charming.
It's a great
the ladies love the Mitch.
It's a great name.
The congressional recess, which starts this weekend. It'd be great if they actually had to take recess. Like, you know, go outside. We used to call them the monkey bars. We'd climb up on the thing. You call them monkey bars, Dave? The monkey bars?
Call them the monkey bars, sure.
And the swings. I'd like to see congressional leaders pushing each other on the swings.
Well, they had the picnic yesterday, or the afternoon.
Little luncheon.
Luncheon. Yeah.
Late
lunch.
Yeah. But the recess is coming up. Mm-hmm. And another setback in efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. For years, the Republicans said repeal and replace. They took vote after vote after vote, knowing they didn't have the votes to get it through. And Mitch McConnell is on the record in print saying the Democrats shoved this down our throat. That's not the way legislation should be passed. It should be passed in the light of day with mutual agreement. There should be hearings, committee hearings, all of it. I guess he changed his mind. He's charming Mitch. He can do what he wants. But he said, listen, we're getting very, very close. Remember the name Paul Manafort ran the Trump campaign for 5 or 6 months? Remember when there was a lot of reports that the Trump people were colluding with Russia? Remember when Trump said, nuh-uh, it wasn't happening? None of it? Not ever, 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 ever? Paul Manafort made $17 million off Russian contacts and Ukrainian contacts, Soviet contacts in general.
Mm-hmm. Over a two-year period.
Over a two-year period. And Paul Manafort is now registered as a foreign agent, so we can keep an eye on him, amongst other things. He still has to face his legal hassles, which could involve potential criminal activity. And you can count your Russian chickens that Robert Mueller is looking into Paul Manafort as well. President Trump yesterday, he called on Washington correspondent Katrina Perry and interrupted a phone call with the Irish prime minister. So picture this. Mm-hmm. He's on the phone with the Irish prime minister. Mm-hmm. You walk in the room. You're hot. And I go, hey, hold on a second, Ian. And I go, look at this one. She has a nice smile on her face. So I bet she treats you well. Talking to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's caught on video, too.
Yeah, it's on our social and at WGNradio.com. By the way, a sidebar, not technically included in all of this, there was an exchange yesterday at the press briefing where an unknown reporter, an editor of a couple of papers or online sites, went after the stand-in for Sean Spicer. What's her name?
Sarah Huckabee
Sanders. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And went after Sarah Huckabee Sanders after she threw out fake news again. And ripped her. And it's not bad. It's not a great defense, but it's not bad. Ironically, this happened on the same day. Well, first off, a day after the New York Times printed an entire front page of all the lies the president has told since he was inaugurated.
Right.
And we're into the hundreds. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we found out that at least five of the Trump golf clubs feature a framed Time magazine cover of Donald Trump. A fake Time magazine cover.
I got one of those at Six Flags once.
The Time, well, that's exactly right. That's what it looks like. The Time magazine cover with a picture of Donald Trump, it never happened.
Right.
March 1st, I believe, 2009, it is a dummied up cover. Time magazine has asked him to take it down. Mm-hmm. It's not real. But here's the point.
Yeah.
You have your people going out, throwing out this dangerous fake news nonsense that 35% of the country may actually believe. That's sad into itself. But yet you lie every single day. You look into the camera. You lie every time you open your mouth. And you're so needy, you're putting up fake Time magazine covers on your properties. Hey, by the way, pal, you own the golf course. That's pretty good. You need more, people telling you you're swell. Putting up fake why don't you take the picture out of the new wallet you bought? Put it up and tell them it's your family.
He claimed in that interview on the record, that was one of the lies in that story, that he was on the cover of Time more than anybody else.
Right.
15 times.
Yeah.
That's inaccurate because
It's a lie. We use the word inaccurate because we're polite.
Right.
It's a lie.
He was been on the cover 10 times. Richard Nixon has that record.
Like 55.
Having been on the cover 55 times.
It's ridiculous. Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, another one of my favorite people. Is he on the show today? Jake, Mike Madigan, was he planning on showing up today? I'm not sure. Oh, apparently not. Means you could be a big winner. You're on show number 935, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Call, and you'll know there's an empty chair here that Mike Madigan may never sit in. And you can be a big winner because Mike Madigan didn't show up. You can show up and win.
I thought he'd be on show 911. Which would make perfect sense.
And there's some symmetry to that.
Yeah.
You know, they also say crickets can help you sleep, Steve.
Don't think that's helpful. Mike Maggin introduced it. Mike Maggin? Who's Mike Maggin? Mike Madigan introduced his long-awaited spending plan yesterday. I've got tons of notes. I'm still reading through about this. But didn't offer specifics on how to pay for any of it. His $36.4 billion proposal that would direct money to schools, universities, and social programs is essentially post-it note material because there's no notes on how any of it's going to get paid for. Mm-hmm. Nice work. In other words, another stall. Three Chicago cops indicted in the alleged cover-up of Laquan McDonald in the shooting. What did they do?
These are three officers who, there were two who were accused of falsifying police reports, and then there was another superior officer accused of signing off on the report. Not quite fair to the superior officers because they're back in the station. You know, they're going by what their officers are telling them, what they're seeing on the street. It'd be like me going and covering something and coming back and reporting it to you, and then you get fired because of something I reported inaccurately. So now Laquan McDonald's attorneys are saying, well, since they were fired, then the entire department should be held accountable.
Okay, well, they can ask.
Which is kind of ridiculous, but...
But the three that covered up for Jeffrey...
McDonald.
Jeffrey McDonald. Jeffrey McDonald? Jeffrey Wooden. It's Laquan McDonald.
Laquan McDonald.
And Jeffrey McDonald?
No.
No, it's Jeffrey something. Look, did you sleep? I didn't sleep. but we all know who we're talking about. And Karen Conti will be on.
Jason Van Dyke.
There you go. You know, it wasn't even Jeffrey, was it? I missed it by
Jason,
a lot.
Jason, you're close. Jason, Jeffrey.
Karen Conti will be on at 7:40 to talk about that and other legal things. And finally, the Rockford IceHogs have signed Eddie Olczyk's son, Tommy. Tommy's got a professional contract. This is a one-year AHL contract. Tommy is a non-traditional hockey star. Played 4 years in the USHL before attending Penn State then to play more club hockey. He was 20 when he went off to college. When he started at Penn State, there was a hockey club team. By the time he finished, they were a Division I program, and now he's made the next level.
Who knows? How about that? They became a very good program at Penn State while he was there.
Yeah. So. All right, kids, there you go. That's your top 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Hey, sixth caller gets a desktop weather station, and we've got some bad weather rolling in tonight and tomorrow. So you'll be able to be ahead of the curve. It's from American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And stand by on a big story coming up in just a couple minutes. What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about how you might not be able to play the lottery much longer.
Well, if you do win, you won't be able to be paid. So
that's right.
Have fun. Go scratch something else.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Warrior Games this weekend. Opening ceremonies. I think there's still a few tickets available. Where are they doing that? At
Soldier Field.
Okay. And John Stewart will be the host for the opening games, or the opening ceremony for the games. The athletes will march in, and then they will go and compete over the next 10 days at venues all over Chicago. And very inspiring Warrior Games. Now, DT joins us on the phone. DT is one of the athletes. DT, I know I call you DT, but what's your real name or your full name?
It's Israel Del Toro Jr.
But you go by DT.
Yeah, that's my call sign. That was the call sign given to me by my teammates.
Got it. And where did you serve and who are you with?
Well, I still serve. I'm active duty. I'm in the Air Force and I compete for Team SOCOM.
All right. And tell me about your service so far. Where were you and what happened to you?
I was in Afghanistan in December 2010, when I got injured, I was ambushed. An IED exploded underneath my Humvee. As a result, 80% of my body has third-degree burns, lost fingers on both hands, and nerve damage. 15% chance to live. Died 3 times. Told I was never going to walk again. Going to be on a respirator for the rest of my life. And my military career was over.
Didn't quite work out that way, did it?
Did not. I kind of proved them all wrong.
Amen to that, and good for you, and God bless you, and thanks for your service. You sound a little bored telling the story, but I know you have to tell it over and over again, and there's nothing boring about it. It's an amazing story, And I appreciate you sharing it with us because we want to give people perspective of not just you, but your teammates and the folks that are competing in this. Because what you've gone through in life, a lot of folks could just sit around and feel sorry for themselves, and that's not what you do.
It's not. You know, when I woke from my coma, you know, when they told me that, you know, I had two choices. I could either hate life and give up, or not let this little obstacle, you know, define me and, you know, ruin my life. And also, I wouldn't be teaching my son anything if I quit.
Got to be the greatest gift of all, right? You still have your son, and you still get to watch him grow up.
I do. You know, people always ask, you know, what motivated you, DT, to keep pushing and not stop? And I tell him it was my son. You know, he was 3 years old. I hadn't seen him since August of 2005. And, you know, I wanted to see my boy, so I pushed.
What did you do about the depression and the mental side of this?
You know, I never really let that bug me. I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say that I never got depressed. You know, of course you're going to get depressed. You know, I went from a 200-pound muscle head to 115 pounds that couldn't move and couldn't do anything.
Right.
So, I'll have my bad days, but I wouldn't let that, you know, overtake my spirit. You know, I was like, you know, it's like, okay, I got this. At least I have my family. You know, there are other guys that had nobody.
Sure.
And
the amazing thing is, the older your kid gets, the more he's going to realize the amazing story of his dad. Not that he doesn't love and worship and you now and know what a hero you are, but, you know, again, as he gets older, the story is going to be more clear to him, which I think is really cool part of your life and his life and the bond you'll have together, Andrea.
DT, good morning. I know you're such an inspiration to your son, but also an inspiration to all the young soldiers out there. What would you tell them who maybe come back and are feeling like you felt, maybe hopeless or that there's no way out, they're going down the wrong path? What would you say to them as far as there is hope?
You know, I would tell them, like, you know, I was there. I know how you feel. I know how in the beginning it seems like, am I ever going to get through this, you know? Am I going to be able to walk again? And it's like, you know, as long as you keep a positive mind, because your mind is very powerful, and not quit in your head, you'll get through it. And if you need someone there to kick you in the butt, to keep you moving, give me a call, man. I'll be there for you.
How many surgeries have you had?
Oh, God. Over 130 plus.
And more to come, right? Because as a burn victim, as your body changes, you got to keep adjusting, I suppose.
I do. The biggest thing is the scar releases because, you know, they'll contract. So you got to get that done. You know, the only reason I still do any kind of like facial stuff is more for my son. You know,
sure.
I didn't want him to be fighting to defend his dad's, you know, honor.
Sure.
So
sure.
I just went through the surgeries just to make it easier on him.
How much pain are you in?
Not really much. You know, the only pain I really have is in my left hand. But that's manageable with some nerve pain medicine that I take. And that's usually, you know, it really only affects me like the weather. So if I'm outside, my hand feels really hot. When it's cold, it feels real tight.
Well, you're getting old, dude. You're getting old, so the weather's affecting you. It's our friend DT competing in the Warrior Games. What events will you compete in?
Are you ready? You ready to listen to all these?
I'm listening.
I'll be doing the 100-meter dash, the 4x100 relay, shot put discus, air rifle shooting in the prone and standing position. I will be doing recumbent cycling and sitting volleyball.
Is that all?
I'm going to have a busy week.
So if you got a head cold as you're driving to work today and you're feeling sorry for yourself, maybe suck it up. Because that's DT's schedule right. over the next week. Wow. And that's a lot of training because that's individual skills.
It is. A lot of and each one is different. Each one requires a different set of rules for me how to get, you know, started. Like shooting, you know, I got to be calm, relaxed, and just chill. And compared to when I'm throwing a shot, but, you know, I'm listening to music to get me all pumped up and want to, you know, crush somebody.
Right.
Wow. DT, what's your best event?
I will probably say it's probably shot put.
Shot put. Yeah. Well, of course it is.
You know, you know, one day when you stop letting your son win, he's going to come back and he's going to start beating you. You know that.
He tries all the times like that. I'm going to kick your butt this time. I'm sure he will.
Well, how old is he? What is he? 10? 11?
He's 14 now.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
He's right there.
Yeah, he's going to start beating you.
Right on the cusp, Dad. Well, listen, we're proud to have you on this show, and we thank you for your service, obviously, as your brothers and sisters in the Air Force and all the service branches do. But it's going to be a great week here in Chicago, and we're obviously thrilled to have all you guys in town. Stay safe, keep up the hard work, and thank you for the inspiration this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me on, sir.
That's DT. Yep, that's DT.
So you can do all those things, right, Steve? All
I
those
can.
Events.
I'm going to need about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to pack them in
at least.
A week.
You and me both.
Yeah.
You mean a year to compete in all the events?
Just to get them all done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 100 surgeries so far.
Yeah.
So far. Unbelievable.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
For the country, we have to have health care. And it can't be Obamacare, which is melting down. The other side is saying all sorts of things before they even knew what the bill was. This will be great if we get it done. And if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like. And that's okay. And I understand that very well.
7-11 now. And that's President Trump in an inexplicable clip from yesterday saying it'll be great if they can get it done. But if they don't get it done, that's okay. I think that's what he said. Some entertainment from the texters at 312-981-7020. Speaking of the text line, there was an incredibly awkward, and you got to go some distance to say it was an awkward moment with Donald Trump, but awkward moment with the president yesterday where I believe he was on the phone with the prime minister of Ireland, possibly?
It was, yes.
And he interrupted the phone call because a hot blonde reporter was in the room. Asked the reporter to approach him more closely, made some reference to her nice smile, and then said something about, I bet she treats you well. So maybe she was an Irish reporter or something. So he references to the guy on the phone. Hey, how about this one, huh? How about this one in the red dress? If you would like to save yourself some time, we can send a clip to you directly. Just text us and ask for it, 312-981-7200. We'll pop it right back to you. Just what do you want me to say? Just say, send me the creepy Trump clip.
And he's sitting in the Oval Office.
At the desk.
This isn't, you know, I'm on my cell phone, you know, in the backseat of the car. This is crazy.
Bill Clinton's going, you know, I did this behind closed doors, Donald. I never invited the media.
Bill Clinton's going, and you all were mad at me?
Oh, you can't make it up, can you? At 7:13, Dave, we're also getting texts from people asking why the Cubs are going back to the White House. As I understand it, the Ricketts, I know, are a political family, and one sib is a hardcore Democrat. Most are Republicans, including the father and the mother. And the father and mother are big Trump supporters. But didn't they spend yesterday, the Cubs, or at least Madden and company, spent some time with the senators Durbin and Duckworth?
No, the Ricketts did.
The yesterday. Ricketts did, okay.
The Ricketts did with both senators.
So they went Democrat yesterday. And they're going to the White House today.
Yeah. And in fact, Senator Durbin was on the TV broadcast last night with Len and J.D. So he was at the game. But they're going to go to the White House today. And Madden says that it is not an official visit with the president. He said he was going out of respect for the Ricketts family and said that the Ricketts have been good to everybody with the Cubs. So he's doing it out of respect for them. He's also addressing a group of young Republicans today as a favor to the congressman from his home district. in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So, but which is aside from the White House visit. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But there's apparently no guarantee they're even going to see the president today. Mm-hmm. And the White House has called it an informal meet and greet. So whether that's with the White House staff, if the president's not there.
All right. So I hope that clears it up for people. For those of you who are
wondering. I don't think the Cubs aren't making it out to be a real big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not not like when they went there and had their official
World Series celebration
visit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. If you're wondering how much it's going to cost for another short-term loan to the state, basically, a short-term kick-the-can-down-the-road budget solution this Friday. And, of course, Mike Madigan, the most useless member of any government in America, who continues to stall and continues to block and continues to act like he's got all the time in the world, who I've now come to believe also is willing to let this thing just linger and rot on the vine. What's rotting? The state of Illinois. Here's what the Chicago Public Schools piece of it looks like in real dollars. Two expensive loans. This is just two individual loans. But they're expensive interest rates because the city and the state's interest rates or credit ratings are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So two expensive loans that Chicago Public Schools secured over the last week to pay the bills will cost $70,000 a day. Interest.
Mm-hmm. In interest, yeah.
It's interest. That's not paying down the principal.
Right.
That's $70,000 a day in interest. The district's borrowing agreements are with J.P. Morgan. They required CPS to hold almost $400 million in loans until at least September 29th. That means CPS will pay roughly $7 million in interest. Why do they have to hold them until September 29th? Well, because they want to make the interest. They're going to lend you the money. They don't want you coming up with some cash influx at some point, though I'm not sure where that would come from, and pay off the loans early. So $7 million in interest would be the minimum the city is on the hook for. The two loans to be repaid with pending Illinois education grants are delayed as state government appears to be on the brink of entering its third consecutive fiscal year without a legitimate budget.
Now, Monday, the district had to borrow more than $100 million through J.P. Morgan, also back with education grants. That was just 2 days ago.
Right. And those two loans, the two J.P. Morgan and who is the other lender? I forgot what the other lender was. But it comes down to $70,000 a day in interest. In interest. $112 million through J.P. Morgan and you know, the balance of that number through another lender named Vinny, who's got a Catalina that he opened the trunk for.
Think of $70,000 a day just in interest if you just put one day of that into the schools.
Sure.
Either
a lot of computers.
Lunch programs, right, school computers, after school
programs.
Well,
J.B. Pritzker's got the computers covered.
Oh, yeah.
Or I mean
okay.
The lunch is covered, I should say the food.
Yeah.
Computers, books, actual books,
yeah.
School supplies, so teachers aren't having to dip down and buy all the school supplies. You know, teachers spend a lot of their own money mm-hmm. every year just furnishing their rooms.
Yes. Yes, they do.
After
school programs, that's all extra money, too.
But we're just throwing $70,000 a day away. And every parent of a CPS kid knows you spend a good portion of the school year at fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, Dave, when we were kids and we just sold pot. What?
No. We had bake sales.
We had candy bars. We had candy bars. Candy bar sales, right? And you do it maybe once a year for the football team.
Yeah.
You know, because the school taxes paid for the schools. Not anymore. Parents, I mean, I was amazed. My sister, Leslie, and the girls, Nina and Claire, I haven't seen her in the last 10 years because as the girls have been in school, she's been at fundraisers yeah. every day.
It's unbelievable.
So that's the position we're in. Well, Mike Madigan blocks everything that could be done in the state to keep his power base. $70,000 a day is being thrown away. And that's just a small piece of the story because that's just the CPS story
mm-hmm.
and not even the full CPS story. We, of course, are covering the non-budget story as the week rolls on as well. It's 7:18. I was thinking maybe we should just change and go to a monarchy. I mean, John Williams always wanted to be a king, right? Or be the king.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd put him in charge of the way he parks.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not again.
Then I saw this story. The Queen of England has received a $55 million raise. Is that right? No, it's a 78% raise from $55 million to $97 million. She will get $97 million this year. Now, here's what I didn't know. Out of that $97 million, that's not just Queen and Prince Philip fun money. That's not just go to the casino and play the nickel slots. No, that is money she has to spend on her staff and the upkeep of the various palaces. And supposedly Buckingham Palace is a dump.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Unbelievable.
Does she get...
There's only one bathroom in the entire place.
No, there's not. Oh. There's probably dozens.
That's true.
I mean,
okay, you've been to Buckingham Palace. Yes. And you know how all around the area they sell souvenirs. Everything has the Queen's right. picture on it.
I tried to have the Queen knight me.
And did that work out?
So we no, she asked me how to get off the property.
Sir Cochrane. Yeah. So does she get royalties? Does the royal family get royalties, no pun intended, from all of
no,
the
royal family's money,
is,
well, you know, wherever the nation tends to come up with the money to pay them. But the almost $100 million she gets could come from that, I suppose. I don't know how it's funneled. Hmm. But the $97 million goes for upkeep of the 775-room Buckingham Palace.
Wow.
They still have to replace wiring and pipes that are over 60 years old. Well, tell me about it. We got floods in this building. And the Crown Estate consists of prime real estate, farms, and coastlines that generate hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue every year. Of course, it's pounds there, just to translate. A portion of the profit is eventually given back to the Queen and her family each year as something called the Sovereign Grant. And the grant she has to pay people with.
Do you think they fight over the rooms? Like, you get 200, I get 300. Because it's 775
rooms. I would think at some point it's lonely. The Queen padding around the 775 rooms. Oh, I remember when Charles was just a boy.
How do you remember where you put something?
Right.
You mean like if you set down the remote in one room and you walk 300 rooms
right?
away?
Yeah.
And where are their corgis? They probably have their own
The corgis do have their own room. The corgis have, I know this
and
for a
bathroom.
Fact. No, I know this for a fact. The corgis have a three-room suite.
What?
Yes, the corgis and their keeper have three separate rooms.
I think they could afford to give them more than three.
Yeah, the corgis and their keeper.
Ah, they're small.
Yeah.
They're small. The queen uses the money as her expense account as well. Because she pays for her own travel, which is why the queen flies Southwest. You know,
she
your bags fly free.
Does. Right.
Can you see the queen in group C? You know, they have like group A, B, and C.
And her hat gets a C.
The queen didn't register in time online, so she's in group C.
I think she pre-boards.
She gets pre-boarding.
Oh, I wish we'd gotten to the airport earlier. Philip, I told you, don't take the Edens. the Queen and Buckingham Palace. She's going to make almost $100 million next year. That's not bad. Or this fiscal year, I should say.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. Oh, and by the way, they do a crazy thing in England. They do a budget.
Oh.
Yeah, they do a budget.
What's that word again?
Budget.
Okay.
Budget. Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. Yeah. What's that thing called? The spinner that the kids are into in school?
Fidget spinners.
That's supposedly the queen's way into that as well. She bought
really?
A bunch of those. Yeah, she got a lot of time at the palace. Plus, Prince Philip's is retired now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, leave me alone, Philip. I don't care that your prescription was filled. Stop following me with that look in your eye. It's 7:27. We'll come back. You didn't know the queen was on the show today, did you?
I didn't.
Yeah. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
7:40, and my friend Karen Conti's here. Looking lovely. Let me interrupt my call with the Irish Prime Minister so I can bring the blonde over. The listener's having trouble figuring out who I am again. Let me just give you a couple of texts here. 630. You guys suck. Not funny. Left-wing biased. Followed immediately by this from the 312. Why don't you get over your angst with Mike Madigan? It's Rauner's fault. Okay. Well, you know me. I like to heap praise on both sides.
You're so liberal, yet you're so right-wing.
I'm a conservative liberal.
Right.
Yes, I'm a liberal conservative. You know what I am? I'm a right-wing, left-wing nut job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Mm-hmm. Garrett Conti's here, and next hour, Eddie Johnson will be in. But let's talk about the Laquan McDonald situation
second. Let us.
All right, so three officers are paying the price for, if this story proves to be true, for lying and covering up what the officer did. Van Dyke?
It is Van Dyke.
No, I've lost
Van
all
Dyke.
Confidence
yes.
that I've remembered his
yes.
name. What do we know?
Well, you know, I think this is a long time coming. You know, this happened a long time ago. What happened was these officers allegedly, and I'm going to read it as if it were these facts are true, they were tasked with looking at the videotape and determining what happened here. They said that a couple of police officers were actually battered by McDonald, that he veered toward them, that he was told numerous times to drop the knife, and none of those things was true, even if you look at the video. So they were hoping, I guess, that the video would never make it to the public eye. They blatantly lied and signed off on it. And then their supervisors did the same thing. So this is pretty serious. This is obstruction of justice, if it's proven. And these people could go away for 5 years. And I think in a case like this, Steve, where the whole city is looking and the whole world is looking, I mean, this is a world story. I think they're going to set a precedent that cops cannot lie about the conduct of other police officers.
Well, that's the way it should be. And it's not good for the rank and file officers in general. You know, tell the truth,
right.
Even though it's a brother in arms, he has to pay the price for what he did. Now, this is in no way a defense of Laquan McDonald, who had every opportunity to stop. But that doesn't mean you kill him when he's walking away holding a knife. I'm not a cop. I'm the first to defend cops. But as he's walking away, I would assume you try to stop him in any way you can up until you're going to kill him. You don't pull out a gun and shoot him 16 times. There was no lunge back at the officer. There was none of that.
And, you know, a mistake like that could be made. You hear rumors about the officer had some issues before and he had served in the military and maybe had some mental issues. I don't know. I don't know what his defense is going to be. We'll watch and wait because that trial is coming up. But it's these police officers that I'm actually more concerned about, because you can have someone make a mistake and be a bad cop.
Sure.
You know, that happens. But when you have a system that routinely allows a bad cop to continue to go back out on the street, in a case like this, this is why we have a problem. And I look at the statistics on when people make police complaints, like 11% are even found sustained. And in the vast majority of those cases, there's no docked pay, there's no missed time, there's no money, there's no punishment, really.
There's desk duty for maybe a year and then it's bad.
Is really not much of a punishment because you're getting paid.
So, yeah.
This has to change. And I hope that with this.
And it's weird, too, because it's been minority rule. A small percentage of bad cops that have gotten away with it forever.
Right. Well, and then the ones who are good cops, and I talk to them every day on the street in my neighborhood. They say, we feel like we can't do our job because we're going to be scrutinized now to make up for, you know, what's going on here in these kind of cases.
Isn't that the general consensus on why contacts are down? Because police feel that we can't go and make contacts without somebody pulling out a video camera or being accused, or people assuming we're the bad guys.
There was the female officer, I think it was the Austin neighborhood, Karen, and we had talked about this at one point, who was beaten by the suspect, and they said, why didn't you pull out your gun and either fire or tase the suspect? And she said, I was scared for what would happen. I was scared I would get in trouble. And she was in the hospital for a long time.
I mean, that presents a serious problem. And I think you're right, Steve. I think they're just not making the contact. I think they're looking the other way when they don't think they have to. They're not being as aggressive. And if you look at the numbers, I think that bears out what I'm saying. And again, that goes, if you look at our crime rate, I don't know if you guys ever see heyjackass.com. It's a great website. It tracks all of the murders on a minute-by-minute basis.
It's heyjackass.com?
Yeah, it's really an amusing.
Great site, though.
It's a great site. I mean, it's a little, they try to be a little cutesy with it, which is
I'm not sure what's cute about
about murder. No, there isn't. But it details where the neighborhoods are. Details how many are shot. How many are police shootings? And
how many are female, male?
Where are they shot in their body? You know, and so what you see are these patterns in these neighborhoods. I mean, it's certainly in certain neighborhoods, and it's astounding how many.
Well, the people listen. Let's overgeneralize on the other side for a second. The people that poo-poo all of this go, well, it's bad black kids shooting bad black kids. Well, that is not factual. The fact is, these are gangbangers. These are drug runners who we know more and more often are shooting innocent kids on playgrounds, old people sitting on their porches, people just trying to live their lives. And I don't care how bad your neighborhood is in. areas, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to live in fear every minute of the day.
No, and we can't sit in our nice neighborhoods and think otherwise, because it's creeping into all the neighborhoods.
Yes.
I mean, I live in a very nice neighborhood, and there's murders all the time. Every single weekend, there's someone on Lakeshore Drive, someone in the neighborhood on North Avenue.
Sure.
It's coming toward the city, and I think... I don't know. There's a consent decree that's being talked about, a national consent decree.
This from the Justice Department's oversight?
Yeah, and they have come in on many, many cities all over, New Orleans, and
Dallas.
And they've put in like certain things in place that have worked in the past, training sessions, different things to train these people on how to do their job better and how to monitor the bad cops and reward the good cops. And Rahm Emanuel, I think he's waffling on whether or not to accept that consent decree. And I don't know why. I don't think Trump actually is going to be enforcing any of these things. I think he's backing off. I think he's saying, you know what, we're going to just let the police do what they want to do, which I think is a bad decision. But I would like to see Rahm Emanuel institute something. If it's not the federal government's idea, then it's got to be someone's good idea on how to change things.
This is something, as a Chicago resident, I don't mind paying overtime. I see more officers, don't you, Karen, in our district,
yes,
either on Michigan Avenue, South Loop, on the L. I like seeing more officers.
I do, too.
Yeah, and the increased presence, we'll talk to Eddie Johnson about this, the increased presence on the trains has made a difference already. There was a multiple murder shooting in Austin, in the Austin neighborhood last night. Mm-hmm. But your point is well taken that it's spreading to other areas. And when it hits tourism and money, that's when the aldermen and other folks start to wake up a little more. But I still feel every day for the people that just can't send their kids to school without wondering if they're going to make it home. Because this is not, you know, it's easy for, and I'm going to, you know, again, for the sake of generalizing, it's easy for a bunch of white folks to sit around and go, it's gangbangers shooting gangbangers in bad neighborhoods. That's not the story anymore.
No. It's creeping in all over.
All right, we've got to talk to you about the Supreme Court and what they're wearing under their robes. We'll get to that in just a second, including the possibility of another justice retiring.
Yes.
Which could happen, like, what, by the end of the week?
It could.
Yeah. It's 7:48. Karen Conti is here. What's the name of the law firm?
Conti Law. One word.
Phone number?
312-332-7800.
Favorite TV law show of all time?
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason?
I'm an old school girl.
Perry Mason.
I liked Perry Mason.
Where do they, is that MeTV? Is that where they run that?
I guess.
I think they do. Yeah, right? Still?
I just remember that when I was a kid. Yeah. I just loved watching that. I'm sure if I went back and watched those, I'd think they're a little dated, but I did like that.
If Jake changed your opening theme from Perry Mason to L.A. Law, would L.A. Law then be your favorite? Are you that manipulable?
Yes. I'm a lawyer, for
unless
God's
she's
sake.
In court. All right, Supreme Court. Supreme Court makes a ruling on the Trump travel ban, which is interesting because it approves a good chunk of it, but with this additional conditional piece of it that says you got to have a reason to be here. It seems completely legitimate, even though it's not. It's a political thing. It's not going to protect us, you know, in some big way, but it could stop somebody. We don't know. But then there's this 90-day thing. Explain that
well,
to people.
Well, I don't even think it's a big chunk that was approved. The way I'm reading it is this. Okay, let's just start. There was a ban, right? Then the appellate court said, we're going to stay the ban, meaning we're not going to enforce it because we don't think it's going to be held up. The Supreme Court said, as to just one piece, we're going to lift that stay, meaning we're going to allow that ban to take effect. And that is with those six majority Muslim countries, Yemen, Somalia, Iran, Sudan. As to those countries, unless you have a bona fide reason to come here, meaning you have a relationship with a family member, you have a job, you have school, you have some connection to this country.
Well, you hit the areas. It's basically it's family, job, or education.
We can deny your visa.
Right.
But this only, if you look at the stats on it, and if you understand what's going on, I guess, in the world of visas, we're talking about 100,000 people a year. It's not a huge number of people from those countries who want to come here just to go sightsee, okay?
Okay.
Essentially. You know, no, there's no legitimate connection. So what has been allowed really is not much. Now, we can't read into what the Supreme Court did here. The Supreme Court basically just said, as to those, we just don't see where there's a right to have a controversy about it. But as to the other stuff, we're going to wait and see. Now, in 90 days, this ban is going to be moot. It's going to be void. So,
which takes you to the last week of September.
Right. So what are they going to decide when there is a moot travel ban? I'm not quite sure.
Well, how do they take cases? Because I don't understand the mechanics of this. So the White House could have but didn't ask for a special hearing of this case in July, right?
I don't know if they did or not, to tell you the truth. The Supreme Court can be asked to hear cases on an emergency basis.
Right.
Like the
election And if you're the President
cases.
Of the United States, you'd probably, you know...
You'd probably
get that hearing.
Because your whole point is this is so urgent and this is so necessary for security that you would think they would have...
But I don't understand why the White House didn't ask for it, because now it'll expire. So the only read you could have into that is they just wanted a political win.
I guess you could say that. On the other hand, are they going to then issue another travel ban? I mean, that's what the solution is. Issue another one either in the interim or after the Supreme Court rules. Maybe they're waiting for the Supreme Court to say, yes, we uphold it, no, we don't, and then they're going to craft it, a new one that would basically go around the Supreme Court decision.
So is there some sort of mechanism that once this thing expires, the Supreme Court would take it up anyway? Or if it's no longer an issue, why would the court spend any time on it?
You know, that's a good question. I actually handled, along with other people, a case that went to the Supreme Court, and it was about an election that happened in Chicago having to do with the Harold Washington Party. And we thought because the Harold Washington Party lost, election was done, that it would be moot, but the Supreme Court wanted to hear it anyway. That was very unusual, and they did rule on it, and it did set precedent for future elections, but as far as I was concerned, it was a dead issue.
So they could make up their own rules.
They can if they think it's important.
They're the Supreme Court.
And this, of course, is very important. This is, you know, national security.
What's a robe cost? Do you know how much a robe costs?
No idea.
Like, is there a Supreme Court gift shop where you could get your own robe?
But they can design it. They can use what they want, like as far as putting a scarf or, you know, they can
stylize it.
Their robes any way
they
want.
And some judges, like in the circuit court, I mean, some women like wear really pretty dresses. Some wear like just T-shirts and jeans. You know, you don't know.
Karen, if the high court in October said, you know, say they surprised everybody, they took on the case, they said there is going to be an absolute travel ban, we don't want anybody from these six countries coming in, whether it's for education, jobs, or family, what about the people who are already here? Would that be retroactive? Would there be kind of a rounding up then of people who are already let in?
Hard to say without looking at all of the immigration laws and laying them out. I would say no, that wouldn't be retroactive, that you couldn't really deport people unless you had reason to do that going forward. But interesting, one more thing that the Supreme Court did say is it kind of nudged the administration to do what it said it was going to do in the travel ban legislation. It basically said that we're going to look into these different countries and we're going to find out how they're vetting people, who wants to come in and why, and then we're going to have better rules set up at the 90-day period. So the Supreme Court says, well, we expect the administration is going to do that, so we might have something to work with when we look at this this law. So you can read a lot into what they did, but you can't read into what the ultimate outcome is going to be.
There is the potential that two justices will retire in the relatively near future. Anthony Kennedy could retire this week. I don't know why the rumor is so hot this week, but it is because it's the end of session. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, she's on that list as well. Their combined age is over 1,000. Will they hold on?
You know, I remember seeing a special with Ginsburg, and she basically said that she felt like she had an obligation to, you know, who nominated her to stay on and to make sure that the court, you know, maintained the side that she wanted to. But, you know, you can only hold on so long, you know. And there are rumors Kennedy is going to step down. And when they step down, and if they do that, you know, we're going to have another senatorial, you know,
showdown
and fireworks and all of that kind of stuff. And it could really change the whole tenor of the court. I mean, that could change everything.
Anthony Kennedy was always called the swing vote. Not always, recently, in, you know, the recent Supreme Court passed. John Roberts now appears to be the potential new swing vote. That surprise you at all?
Not really. You know, he's a really smart man. He's a really good judge. And again, we can't always call a decision liberal or conservative.
Right.
Because what they really do is not go, hey, I'm a liberal, I'm going to vote down this.
Right.
No, they look at the law. They look at the facts. They look at the legislation. And they parse things in a way that it's almost impossible to explain because it's so complicated. So the only thing that I would like to say is that Gorsuch, actually, his opinion was that this whole travel ban should be upheld. he made a special opinion. So we now see that he might be on the road to being a very conservative judge.
He has been very conservative in the 15 cases I think he's handled so far.
Yes.
You're on Sunday night?
On Sunday night with Brian Noonan from 8 to 9 p.m.
And if people want to get a hold of you before then, they could just call you at the office?
They can, 332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
So if you're planning on being arrested today, you should remember that number.
You should.
Yeah. You have a website you want to plug to or just call you?
It's kcontilaw.com. Call me. You know, can Google me. I'm all over the place.
She's the best.
It's Karen Conti, and if Trump were here, he'd be hitting on her. This is, you want to take the break first? We'll take a break. We'll come back to the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
I'd like to warn the fans listening, Annabelle Lavelle will not be appearing today with Dean and I. She's playing with a giant inflatable in Lake Michigan.
That's correct.
What is that?
Allowed to have her on occasionally. It scares small children sometimes.
What is the inflatable thing? Is that the playground? The water park?
Let me just take a little peeky here.
Yeah, I think it's the water park. It's an inflatable water park. It's near Whiting, right? Whiting, the beach in Whiting?
In Whiting, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, as usual, they have absolutely nothing listed here.
Good to see the producers working hard.
The Woe Zone? It's called the Woe Zone?
Yeah, it's a water park.
Woe Zone, Wyhalla Beach, Whiting, Indiana.
Wyhalla! we got good news and bad news in the entertainment world. Get to. Hey, have you seen this Megyn Kelly show? It's got no ratings.
I have not seen the show itself, but I've heard about the disappointing ratings if you're NBC.
If you're NBC and you gave her $1 billion, well, I was a little south of that, but not far, and she's done four shows and the ratings have gone down every week and advertisers have canceled because she put that creep Alex Jones on, I think it's time for a meeting. I think this might go on your permanent record.
Yeah, I would think so.
And maybe a new time slot. Maybe 60 minutes is not what you take on right out of the gate.
Or maybe people are just, you know, it's at a point of overload.
Newsed out.
Maybe I find myself getting that way where, you know, sometimes I can't turn off the news channels.
Somebody texted me this morning. They said, do you and Roe ever get tired of complaining? Not that I'm complaining, but do you get tired of complaining? That was the texter. And I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd rather be fun, Steve.
Right.
But I can't.
Right. Take that, people who, you know, actually have hard jobs for a living.
Right.
Oh, poor us. We have to talk about the news.
Yeah, it's just a very, I'm not going to say an interesting time. It's a very complainy time in the world. So anyway, Megyn Kelly's show, I think no good. So I like the idea of, the Dean Richards Sunday Night Hour. On NBC.
Sure. I'm not doing anything else on Sunday.
No. It's one night you get to actually relax. Not anymore.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
Hey, who'd you have in? You had a big shot guest in this
morning. We had Kumail Nanjiani. Do you know who that is?
From Silicon Valley.
From Silicon Valley, Portlandia. He's been on a whole variety of television shows.
Funny dude.
And movies. He's very funny, and he's got a new movie that he co-wrote with his real-life wife about how they really met. He, a Pakistani Muslim American.
Mm-hmm. Like
she,
me.
She, a good old American girl. Mm-hmm. His parents are trying to set him up in a prearranged marriage with a girl from Pakistan.
Oh, I know.
And did you go through that?
I went through the same thing.
Two? Okay. In the meantime, she falls ill, and her parents, who are not so crazy about him either, the ice begins to thaw a little bit. It's a very sweet romantic comedy. It is at times hilariously funny. The writing in this is so smart.
So it's a good movie.
So good. It's a really good romantic comedy called The Big Sick.
Boy, you don't get many of those anymore.
The Big Sick, cross-cultural. Kind of addresses, being a Muslim in America right now. in some really, really funny and well-written scenes. So, and turns out he's a super nice guy, as it turns out. Lived in Chicago. The movie is set in Chicago. Much of it was not filmed here, just some exterior shots. Because it wouldn't be a movie unless you have a shot of the Bean in Marina City.
Yes, and people eating pizza.
There actually is a scene where he and his girlfriend are eating pizza. And I mentioned to him this morning, I said, you know, there's a problem with that pizza eating scene. Chicago pizza is not cut in wedges. Chicago pizza is cut in squares.
Right.
That's the Chicago way. He goes, I know. I said, my editor was from Chicago, and he was complaining, but we couldn't go back and reshoot it.
Yeah, can you imagine if he goes to the studio, because it's a little movie, I assume,
yeah,
and he goes back to the studio and goes, we're going to need $100,000 for a half-day reshoot to get the pizza right.
Cut the pizza properly, because people, nerds like me in Chicago, are saying, the pizza's not cut right. The movie's hilarious. It's one of the smartest comedies, but the pizza's not cut right.
By the way, that's Dean's complaining viewer voice.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
It's 8:20. We come back. Stories on Johnny Galecki, Ryan Reynolds, Adam Driver, and Aretha Franklin. What do they all have in common? They're all on Dean's Entertainment Showbiz Extravaganza.
Nice tie-in. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Back to Dean at Channel 9, and let's start with this Johnny Galecki story. What's happening?
Chris Terrible, the star of Big Bang Theory, Leonard Hofstetter, on the show. He has a ranch, kind of a little getaway house that's in San Luis Obispo, California, about 200 miles from L.A., and they're having wildfires there right now, and his entire ranch house was burned to the ground. In this fire, a 1,200-acre fire that burned down his house and other property that was on his estate. Thankfully, nobody was hurt in the fire. Galecki was not there, but he says as soon as the fire department gets the fire contained, they're still putting it out, as you can imagine how enormous it must have been. As soon as it's contained, that he's going to get there. Put out a statement last night. Saying that his heart goes out to everyone who also experienced loss. You know, Johnny Galecki lived in Chicago as a little boy.
Yep.
Worked at Steppenwolf. He's got some deep Chicago roots.
And this is a house.
We have a spontaneous band that's about to start playing behind me here. So.
And why are they warming up in the newsroom?
Well, I think they're doing something.
I'm watching the monitor, and I can see a guy with a hula hoop and a guy with a ukulele or a mandolin.
Bongo
I can't tell.
Drums, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the type of thing that's going to hurt your hardcore journalism image for the WGN Morning News.
I think it enhances it. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, if Megyn Kelly had some bongo drums and a hula hoop.
Yeah, then she wouldn't be fourth. All right, so moving on the list here, Ryan Reynolds is a hero. What did he do?
He saved his nephew's life. He took somehow bongo drum music. And
it's a little weird, right?
Almost dying is a little bit weird. But he took a CPR class a couple of years ago, and his nephew went into some sort of cardiac arrest, and he knew what to do, wound up saving his nephew's life. So he now he's crediting the Red Cross for, you know, teaching him, is now recommending that everybody take a CPR class. Would you know what to do?
I believe so. I mean, I took a class, and I've updated myself a few times, but... you know, you don't want to be in that situation, but I think you should be prepared if you are.
Yeah, I haven't taken a formal class, but we've had people on the show to demonstrate how to do it. So now, of course, I think I pretty much think I can do heart surgery after,
same here.
You know, doing a 3-minute TV segment. I'm pretty sure I'm qualified.
There's no question. As a matter of fact, if I ever had to have heart surgery,
yeah,
first person I call would be Dean.
Absolutely. Yeah. He is saying that he and his wife, Blake Lively, recently took a refresher class. That focuses on infant and toddler CPR. They have two small children, so you know, they focused on that. And you think about it, you know, if you've got a toddler or an infant, something like that happens, it's got to be more difficult to do CPR, right?
No, it's got to be. And it's the thought of it's awful,
heartbreaking, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're not going to commit to, you know, learning how to handle yourself in emergency situations, the only other option is this. Help! help.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's as effective.
I'm speculating that they took the refresher course just so he could be all over his beautiful wife, Blake Lively.
Oh, he's trying to touch her boobs. Yeah, he's going, CPR, we have to practice CPR again. I mean, we took the class. Come over here.
They are married. I would hope that there are opportunities for that other than
a
CPR class.
Maybe after marriage. Maybe she said no more boob touching.
Maybe slows down a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know.
Honey, it's to save lives.
Hey, I've got a new script or I've got to do this. You got to come over here and help me.
I have to rehearse.
an actor's life. Adam Driver is the guy that played, didn't he play Darth?
No, Kylo Ren.
That's the guy.
Kylo Ren, the bad
Darth
guy.
Ren.
The bad guy in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Right.
Creepy actor. He normally takes these really diabolical roles. I mean, John Malkovich called him once and said, hey, lighten up a little bit. You're scaring me. That's how scary this guy is.
It's a perfect reference. Is there anybody creepier than John Malkovich?
Exactly. I won't even look Malkovich straight in the eye. I'm afraid he'll see
Christopher Walken will cross the street to avoid him.
I don't blame him. So he shows up at the house of a disabled veteran in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And knocks on the door. They're surprised.
By the way, that town named after my head. Broadheadsville.
Broadheadsville.
Yeah.
Knocks on the door. They're shocked that, that Adam Driver's at their door. And then he goes on to explain how an organization that Adam Driver is involved with, Folds of Honor, which is a veterans organization, mm-hmm. and Budweiser also,
mm-hmm.
Not only are going to pay the tuition for the disabled veteran's daughter, but they're picking up the tab for all of their expenses. So Adam Driver showing up to bring the good news to these people in Broadheadsville.
In Broadheadsville. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice story.
Nice story.
And Aretha Franklin is doing concerts, isn't doing concerts. What's her decision?
Doctor's orders had to cancel some. She had already canceled her Ravinia show that was supposed to take place here. And they rescheduled it, but doctor's orders, they canceled some more shows yesterday. So people are getting a little bit concerned about Aretha's health right now. We don't have any more details.
How old is Aretha?
That another show, I want to say mid-70s. Let me do a quick little searchy-poo here.
I haven't heard her sing in years. Can she still wail?
She can still wail. She can still wail.
She lost a bunch of weight, didn't she?
She did.
Did she put any back on?
Which, no.
Could you weigh her next time you interview her?
Well.
Would that be inappropriate?
If she doesn't respond to this question, Aretha, how much do you weigh? Because people love when you ask that question. People love when you do
especially
that.
Especially women.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Let's see here. Aretha, birthday.
If you're listening now, just take your
75?
Time.
75.
Thank you.
75. Bingo. Mm-hmm. That's what you predicted, wasn't
Steve,
it?
Steve, she is 75 years old.
Well, you have won a weekend with Aretha, Dean, for correctly picking
Thank
that.
You. Thank you very much.
That's tremendous.
So we hope that she's doing okay. So, some people said that the weight loss was as a result of possible illnesses, but nothing's been confirmed. She was on that Kennedy Center honor thing. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, where she sang Carole King, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, and brought the house down.
Yeah, no kidding. And by the way, that's expensive. Whenever Aretha sings, you have to have insurance standing by because she'll bring the house down.
Yeah, she will raise
She'll blow the roof off the sucker.
Raise the roof.
Yeah. Before you go, you interviewed Steve Carell, right?
I did.
And something has blown up on the internet in the last 24 hours that Steve Carell is incredibly attractive, and he's being called the Silver Fox.
He has salt and pepper hair right now. I believe it's for a movie role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's his real hair color at the moment.
Is he more good looking?
I could barely keep my hands off him, if that's what you mean.
Completely unprofessional during an interview.
I was. He's like, hey, my eyes are up here. Like, sorry. Kristen Wiig was right next to him. It's like, sorry, Kristen.
Kristen Wiig's going, what about me?
Yeah. Well, Kristen's like, hey, I don't blame you. Go for it.
Ryan Reynolds got nothing on you.
Yeah.
That's Dean. Good luck with the music there in the studio.
I think that now that our segment's done, I believe that it is also done.
They just quit playing.
They just started. It's like, are they on the radio yet? Hit it. I think that's how it works.
That's how the timing works.
Yeah.
That's Dean. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Good morning.
the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
844. I think it's important on this show to take every advantage we can to check in with Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And because there is progress being made in the one of the toughest crime situations you could possibly have. And not only to talk about that, but to talk about the bad stuff, too. And the superintendent joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing today?
I am doing fine. And, of course, I want to ask about you, too, because you look great, and I hope you feel great. How's the health?
Oh, I do. I feel really great. We're making progress, so I'm hoping to have something done in about the next month.
All right. We got to start with some bad news here first. What happened in Austin last night?
Well, you know, we think it was narcotics related, you know, but that just goes to show you, you know, we just have too many guns out here in the streets of Chicago and too many people willing to use them.
Superintendent, you had a bit of a victory this week. You were down in Springfield. Governor Rauner has signed the gun crime bill favored by you and the mayor. Cracks down on repeat offenders. Explain what this bill will do and how this will help you and the officers out there.
Okay, so what this bill does, it doesn't change sentencing to mandatory sentencing. We're still using the current guidelines, but what we've done is essentially forced judges to sentence repeat gun offenders to the higher end of the sentencing guidelines that's already out there. And if they can still deviate, but if they do, they have to make the decision public, a written public statement as to why. So what it does is actually hold these repeat gun offenders more accountable, because this business of them committing the same violent crimes again and again and only getting 6 months in jail time is ridiculous. So now they will get the jail time that's fitting for the crimes that they commit.
And how many times have we seen this where, you know, an old lady is sitting on her porch minding her own business, or a kid's playing in the park, and one of these jerks who can't shoot straight doesn't hit the other gangbanger, hits the kid or hits the old lady, and then we find out that the guy just got out of jail and he should have been locked up and should have been locked up forever. So this isn't going to fix everything, but it puts a big dent in the problem, I think.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, and I want people to understand that, like you said, Steve, it's not the magic solution, but it's a piece of the puzzle we need to put together to reduce this gun violence, because it is ridiculous when these guys continuously show us that they just don't want to play by the rules of society. So now we've got something in place that will hold them more accountable.
You know, in an effort to try to get the wider population to understand, I always come back to the same thing, but I know it's true, and because I believe it's true and know it's true, I think it's important for people to understand. You take the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago, in quotes, the worst neighborhoods in Chicago, the vast majority, and I'm talking 99% of these neighborhoods want the same thing you want in Naperville and on the North Shore and on the Gold Coast. You just want to live your life. You just want to get up in the morning. You want your kids to be able to go to school. You want to go to your job and come home. And you want to be able to sit outside or take a walk on a nice summer night in this beautiful city. I mean, that's the same thing you experience, right?
You're exactly right. You know, I think that, especially with the national media painting such a terrible picture of some of our neighborhoods. But listen, I spend a lot of time in those areas, and most of the people, the majority of them, want the same things that everybody else do. They, and as a matter of fact, they actually want the police to be in those communities.
Right.
They just want the police to treat them fairly and respectfully, and that's not a lot to ask for. But they want a safe environment like everyone does. We just have a few knuckleheads out there that just don't want to do the right thing. And, you know, as I said, Steve, before, our goal is not to incarcerate more people. Our goal is to create a mental culture in this city so they won't want to pick up these guns and use them. And I think we're getting there. So, you know, of course, with the gun bill and the other things we put in place, we still have to prop up these neighborhoods, you know, in economic development, more jobs, education, and things of that nature. But for those few that don't want that, then we have something else for them.
Superintendent, you talk about the neighborhoods, especially in my District 1, and I know there's been an increased presence in 12, but specifically 1 as well with the bike robberies on the L. I'm seeing more officers on the street, along the bike path, and especially on the L trains, the CTA, early in the morning. So there's a push to have more officers out there. I think that makes everybody feel safer.
Yeah, it does. You know, we have to be smart about the way we do our deployment. So, of course, we are concerned about the downtown area, but we're also equally as concerned about the outlying areas. So, you know, we move around and we adjust things as, excuse me, as dictates. But, you know, all of those areas are of concern to us.
What, knowing how the rank and file seems to feel about you, every cop I talk to loves the fact that you're the boss. Maybe I missed a few. But what's one thing that you feel that you and the CPD leadership are working on and need to do better?
Well, you know, what we need to do better is keep the rank and file more informed about what it is we're trying to do and why we're doing it so that they'll know. A lot of the things that we're doing, Steve, is basically to help them be able to do their jobs better. So, sure. Like in the next coming months, all the way up until December, we'll be rolling out 60 new squad cars a month to help them do what we need them to do. So better equipment, better training, all of that stuff we need to do a better job at.
And what do you need from citizens that would help make the job not easier but safer and more effective for the cops?
What I need from citizens is to know this. You know, being a police officer, especially right now, is difficult. And you got a lot of men and women out here that go out there every day despite the national narrative against police. They go out there every day trying to keep the citizens safe. So when you see a cop out there, just say hello, you know, hope you have a nice day. That type of thing goes a long way because they're people, too. And I think people forget that. They see the uniform, but they don't see the person in that uniform.
And we're getting a new ATF van, too. I know that was unveiled earlier this week, too. That's going to help solve crimes, catch the bad guys as well. And perhaps Senator Durbin said we could have more of these here in Chicago.
Well,
that's
a good thing to bring up to you, yeah. Superintendent. There used to be a lot of jurisdictional fights between the FBI and the CPD and the ATF and all of them. I assume and I certainly hope that you guys all work together better than ever.
So now we have a great relationship. You know, they have really stepped up their game to help us with this violent crime. So that van really helps out a lot because what it does is gives us the ability to test fire firearms on the scene and get the ballistic evidence, which is the shell casings, and match it up instead of it taking us weeks and sometimes months to get those results back. That van can do it in an hour or so. So that helps us connect the dots with firearms that are used in different shootings. So, you know, once we catch that bad guy, then we can match him up to a lot of the shootings going on because there's not a lot of people out here that's doing the shooting in this city. It's a small subsection of the bad guys out here, but that small subsection we need to identify quickly and hold them accountable.
There's always political answers to everything. The political answers generally are the long answer. Obviously, you need great father figures at home like you need great mother figures. Obviously, you need job opportunities for these kids so they don't take the wrong path. You need a strong church community, which most of the city has. You need all of that, a good foundation for these kids to grow up in so they can maximize their lives and have hope. And they're not ready to check out at 18 and they don't care what happens to them. But that's the long answer. One of the reasons we like talking to you, Superintendent, the short answer is what's happening now and what can we do now? And that's why we like staying in touch with you.
Well, the short answer is this. When people see things occurring in their neighborhoods, they need to step up to the plate and let us know. Because, listen, police officers very seldom witness the actual crime.
Right.
That's very seldom. But and don't get me wrong, Steve. Look, I know that CPD played a part in fracturing the relationship with some communities, and we're working hard to repair those things. But we need those citizens to step up, too, because you're absolutely on point. You know, the bottom line is this stuff starts at home. So we do a better job parenting and teach morals and values at home, then the police won't have to deal with them when they come out here on the streets.
Right, because they'll be going to a job. They won't be going out gangbanging. Before we let you run, too, again, I just wanted to salute the fact that you own some of the difficulties that have occurred in the department long before you were the boss, and that you're working hard to repair them. Is there anybody else in management you want to recognize that's getting it done as well?
Well, you know, my first deputy is doing a great job, as well as we started a new initiative where the new recruits go to the DeSable Museum. We've been taking them to the Holocaust Museum for years, and why we never did it, I don't know. But my hat's off to Deputy Chief Calloway, Robin Robinson, and Chief Barbara West, because they came up with the idea of sending the recruits to the DeSable Museum now to learn African-American history and how, you know, some of these issues cropped up in the African-American neighborhood. So I think that's a huge step forward to us because, you know, let's face it, police officers come from all different types of cultures.
Sure.
What I do know is that when you don't know a culture, you tend to fear it. And so we're breaking those silos down to indoctrinate people into the diverse cultures that we have in the city of Chicago. So we're making strides. We're not there yet. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're moving in that direction.
And I'll let you go on this, but I know one thing that is the ultimate truth. You want the bad guys off the street, but the last thing you want on your force is a bad cop as well. So I know that identifying the few bad apples you have and dealing with that is a big deal, too.
It is. I mean, because, you know, the majority of men and women that make up the Chicago Police Department want to do a good job. But to those bad actors, it's our challenge to identify them and get them off this job, you know, because we simply don't need that. Because we serve the citizens of this great city. That's who we work for. So our obligation is to treat them respectfully and fairly.
Working on it every single day, making it right, making it better than it has been. That's his job. And keep up the good health stuff. You keep losing weight, you're making me look bad.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
All right, all
Take
the
care,
best.
Superintendent.
It's Eddie Johnson.
He looks great.
And you talk to more cops than I ever do. I mean, all I hear from cops is they love that he's the boss.
They love him. His recruits, Kevin Navarro, Melissa Staples, everybody in the department. And they're very transparent with the press as well. They'll have a news conference. They'll get ahead of it. They'll put the pictures out. They'll say, here's what we're looking for. And the increased police presence in not only this District 18, but South Loop, West Loop as well, on the bikes and on the L trains,
right.
It's fantastic. People like seeing the police out there.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9-11 in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I have an opportunity again today, and I dragged him in. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to take care of his customers. But I insisted he come in and say hello. It's Jose, and I'm trying to find your last name. Fernandez. Jose Fernandez.
Hey, a pleasure.
How are you?
Thank you for having us here.
Nice to see you.
A pleasure also.
How got are a big you? Smile on your face. Is that on your face all day?
That's it. It's always there.
You're a happy guy?
Happy guy.
Where's that come from?
Family, I guess.
Yeah?
Honestly, I'm very happy.
You grew up here?
I grew up, no, in another country, but...
Which
I,
one? Yeah, pick it.
Venezuela. I know. In
terrible you got family shape. There now?
My father is still there.
God bless him.
I know.
My uncle and his family were missionaries in the jungles of Venezuela.
Kidding. A beautiful place, though.
You know, they'd fly into Caracas. They'd take a boat for a day. They'd take a smaller boat for another day. And they'd work their way out into the jungles, and we're missionaries for Christians, but Venezuela, beautiful country, beautiful people. It's just tragic what's going on.
I know it's unfortunately.
Is your dad okay?
Yeah, he is okay. Unfortunately, okay. Communism when they take a country, it destroys it. So it always happens. So and unfortunately.
I feel for the people. They're going through terrible times.
They're going to and there is so much talent. Talented people in our country, and
let's bring your dad here. Let's get him here. Let's call him right now,
and tell him bring coffee and chocolate.
There you go.
By the way, I heard you're a coffee taster.
I do actually. I worked for the International Coffee Organization for 4 years, so I had a great time.
What do you have to do to be a coffee taster?
Well,
taste coffee, Steve. Good question.
It was an interesting job because I was more in charge of giving seminaries to people around the world on how to improve growing and international trade and coffee.
Were you a coffee farmer?
No.
Why do you know so much about it? Just because you're from
Venezuela?
Because
I studied from it, and then we had to travel. I had a the person that was ahead of me is the president of the organization, and he was from Brazil. So we were traveling together a big length around the world teaching people.
So what part of the world has the best coffee?
Depending on what you're trying to taste. There is, I was explaining to them, the blue coffee is like the best one. And
blue you have coffee?
It. Yeah, the blue, the grain itself is blue.
The coffee is not blue.
The coffee
if the coffee is blue, it's gone bad.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
That's a whole different thing.
The bean's supposed to be like a green. Yeah, that's
okay.
What I thought.
But
yeah.
If you
where do you
find
blue beans?
You find it in my country a little bit. You have it in Jamaica.
Really?
You have it in Indonesia. And that depends on where it's being grown and the height and the level of humidity that the plant itself has. So that's like kind of the best coffee.
So do you have any coffee in Chicago that you like?
Oh, there is plenty. Actually,
oh, there is.
Oh, Chicago
like top
produces.
And don't worry about offending advertisers. Go ahead.
Depending on the blend, and again, it all depends on what you're trying to drink, because it's not about the place itself. It's about the blend that you're drinking. So meaning you have to get a coffee from, let's say, for example, Central America has like very neutral. Then you have South America from Colombia that has a lot of body. Then you have...
I would think you like the strong stuff.
I do.
You're a coffee
I do.
Guy.
I do. That's what I...
So where do you get the strong stuff?
Depending on the origin. You have even
pick
coffees.
A team. Who do you like? I mean, you can go into Starbucks.
Italian coffee is always really
but
good.
But if you go into Starbucks, can you get a cup of coffee?
I don't like Starbucks.
What about Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts is yuck.
He comes from Venezuela.
McDonald's.
Where they
make a well, I know. McDonald's.
Is not. Those,
all right,
those are
so all of the chains, because you have an advanced palate for this, they don't work for you.
No.
But there's got to be a hole in the wall coffee shop that you like.
Pete's Coffee is good.
There you go.
Big Roast, West
yeah.
Loop. Is it, it's, and it's how long you roast the beans, right?
It is a blend of how you mix them. It's like wine. Wine, you pick up the wine, the grapes from the right place,
right.
And then you know the acidity level, you know what to drink, and it's kind of the same thing.
Well, what do you call a coffee connoisseur? It's not a sommelier. What is it?
No, I was asked the same question, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name, but it was a coffee taster, maybe.
Okay.
It's somebody that tastes coffee for a living, and actually they can recognize, for example, a particular brand, it has X amount of percentage of coffee from Central America, X amount from Africa, X amount from Indonesia, and so forth. They can tell you everything.
Do you know about this coffee that's like the most expensive or most rare coffee, where it's supposed, or maybe it's a myth, but monkeys eat the coffee beans,
mm-hmm.
and then the beans are harvested from what the monkeys leave behind.
Oh, really?
And they make coffee. You know about this story?
No, I don't know.
Find that, will you?
Yeah,
Google that bad boy up.
Yeah, I will, because it's
Google coffee from monkey poop.
Okay,
see what you get.
I'll do it now.
Yeah, and go from there. Now, you've had a very interesting life, and as it continues, you also, did you play for the Chicago Fire?
No, my son.
Your son?
That's how I came, yeah.
Is he there now?
No, he's in Miami right now at the University of Miami playing for the team and studying over there business. So,
is he still looking to play pro?
Yeah, he's looking for it.
Wow.
And actually,
he
was brought here when he was 14 years old, and coach was phenomenal. The team was honestly one of the best experiences that I have ever had. We traveled with my son. My son used to play for like the Florida team, the national team, and so forth.
Yeah,
and
when you have that much talent, you're going to be on the road a lot as a parent.
Well, that's the thing, that we were on the road every weekend. On a Friday, we will say, okay, we're going to Tallahassee, then we're going here.
Wow.
I was in Florida. So
it's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment, but he did really well, so I'm very happy for him.
And he used to get, what, 22, 23?
He's 18 still.
He's 18?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So but did the Fire have his rights?
Yeah, he did, until they said, well, you go and play at the university, and then he's supposed to come back.
Okay, so the Fire still would be able to sign him.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting, because they're having a great year.
Very much, and they're great. And that's a fantastic organization,
well, that's
let me
fun.
Tell you.
I got a buddy of mine whose son has played for the Fire.
Yeah.
It's fun as a parent.
They have a great academy team, a great organization. So to be quite honest with you, it's a very professional organization. Very happy with them.
Did you find a story?
I did.
I did.
You found
yeah.
the coffee?
It's called Kopi Luwak or Luwak. It's the most expensive coffee in the world. Runs between $35 and $100 per cup. The main factor of its high price, it's the uncommon method of producing the coffee. It's produced from coffee beans, which have been digested by a certain Indonesian cat-like animal called the palm civet, or the civet cat.
Okay, it's not a monkey then. It's
and
not a cat.
It's a cat, yeah. Okay. And as you said, it's, how do I say this nicely?
It's coffee poop.
Yeah, it's collected, finished, sold, cleaned, obviously, processed, boiled again. Yeah. And the taste is just unbelievable. They said there's such high demand.
How long has that been on? I didn't know.
It depends on the civet. yes, depends.
On the civet, exactly. How long it takes to digest,
yeah.
too. Just
yeah.
a few
I
years.
Don't know. The story's been out for a few years.
A couple years.
Yeah, I'm glad you got out of the business before you had to taste it.
There you
that.
Go. Yeah.
All right, so you lead this very interesting life. Why would you leave all of that interesting stuff and take on the challenge of starting your own business?
Honestly, I moved to Chicago. And
okay.
Chicago is like my most beautiful. I was telling them, I love Chicago.
Sure.
Chicago is the best city in the world.
Us too.
Honestly, phenomenal people.
Right.
And I did it because I wanted to get involved with people.
Okay.
I had a business in Florida, and because I came to Chicago, I said, well, let me have another business and let me try this because I enjoy my time. And I started meeting wonderful people. And to be quite honest with you, that's the great thing about business and insurance person, because you deal with them in all aspects of their life. You have to know them very deep, very well. And to be quite honest with you, it's a great experience. People from the Midwest are phenomenal. I love it here.
It's exciting.
Yep.
It's exciting. What do you say to people maybe considering becoming an Allstate agent? Do it. Jump in.
I will jump in with my eyes closed, and I will do it all over again.
You would?
Honestly. Absolutely. Yeah. No problems whatsoever. Actually, right. It's one of the greatest experiences of my life.
What's the name of your agency?
Jose Fernandez or Fernandez Insurance Group.
And where
and
are you?
I have two agencies, one in 4044 North Elston Avenue and the other one in the West Loop in 1015 West Madison.
All right. And what do you want people to know for this time of year? Because I didn't know this until I met some of these fine Allstate folks. Insurance can be seasonal, right?
Correct.
Because you think about the winter and you got to make sure, you know, slippery roads and all of that. But there's things you worry about with your house and different stuff. Right?
Correct. Actually, this time of the year is, and especially what's coming ahead, our holiday that is coming ahead, the 4th of July, is supposed to be the deadliest weekend in this country. And the reason is everybody goes out and drives. So it's an exponential based on the amount of people that are driving, how dangerous it gets. So when the price of gas came in from $4 a gallon to $2 a gallon, we had an infused amount of people of driving cars all over the country, and we had accidents everywhere. So
the higher volume, more claims, right?
Correct, more claims. And that's what happens this weekend. And actually, during this time, vacation time, July and August is the worst time of the season because everybody goes out and drives. So
also, too, it's the time of the year we're expecting heavy rains today and tomorrow. Make sure your home is protected from floods, and they can just call you and get advice.
Absolutely,
from that
advice
too.
On that, obviously, and we're more than glad to help them out in any way. Flood is a big issue, especially here in the Midwest where you have basements on it, and more than glad we'll help them out.
What's the Allstate Best Drivers Report?
The Allstate Best Driver Report is a report that they issue annually, okay? They measure the 200 most populated cities in the United States.
Okay.
And they say how many accidents they have based on the population that they have, okay?
And how do we do?
Depending.
Right,
if
right,
you
right.
tell me Chicago itself, Chicago was ranked 129th out of the 200, so
not great.
Not
great.
Well, it improved a little bit,
okay.
Four spots based on the 2016 okay. Survey, but it's not a large improvement. Now,
what city has the safest drivers?
The safest is Kansas City, Kansas, and it's been there.
Why would that be?
I guess the infrastructure, I guess how
people. It's a big, small city. Dave, you've been there a million times.
Yes, I have. Yeah. It's, you know, it's, I guess maybe the city, the downtown area is pretty, can get pretty congested, but they're basically your interstates around the area, and it's not as, doesn't seem as crowded as our highways get.
Correct. I would assume it has to do with how the city is organized and how the traffic flows. Basically, you don't have everybody driving at the same time.
Isn't there like a beltway in Kansas City too?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Or it was something like that.
Yeah.
But it's been there as being the first city in the United States 2 out of the last 3 years. So it's a very safe city to drive. And believe me, the worst city, you may ask me that
one, is?
Boston, Massachusetts.
No question.
I remember the first time I went to Boston, I was doing college hockey. And the first time I go to Boston, I get in the back of a cab, and the driver up front has two chihuahuas in the front seat with him. And I don't know if you know anything about chihuahuas. They're a tad yappy. And the dogs are barking, and I told him, I got to get to the Boston Garden. I didn't know the city. Well, we passed it, going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And I said, no, the garden back there. He cuts across the median, a concrete median, cuts across the median. The dogs are bouncing. I figure I'm going to fly out of the cab. He turns around and he comes back. First car experience in Boston, I have no doubt.
Sure. I can only imagine.
The roads are small. They were built for Paul Revere and a horse.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
People want to get a hold of you and your agency and meet you because you're a good guy. I like that big smile on your face. You're a happy guy.
No, more than glad. Our office is in main office. It's at 4044 North Elston Avenue. Telephone number 773-463-1932. Feel free to call us. More than glad. We'll receive them personally and we'll help them out. And we have plenty of people in the office. We have a great team. And honestly, it's all about the team that we have. And it's great. Great experience.
Number again is?
773-463-1932.
And if you want to find out how to be an agent, allstate.com, just follow the links.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, Jose.
It's a real pleasure.
My best to your entire family and good luck to your son.
Thank you so
much. Stay
healthy. Honestly.
925, back after this on 720 WGN. Developing news on the soda tax in the city of Chicago. Andrea, you live in the city. And
This is the Cook County.
Cook County.
I thought it was the city. It's going to affect everybody, far northern suburbs, far south suburbs. It's supposed to go into effect July 1st, but the Illinois Retail Merchants Association yesterday filed a lawsuit in Cook County to try to halt it. They're calling it the soda pop tax. It really is the sweetened beverage tax, and it affects, if you see this list that I was going to print out for you, it's basically everything that has sugar in it, from cranberry drink, Arizona iced tea, every single drink, basically, even vitamin water, is going to be on this list. So they're in court this morning to try to stop this or at least put a halt on it. But this is set to go into effect on Saturday, and people are just really ticked off about this.
The sweetened beverage tax, one of their complaints, the sweetened beverage tax is unfairly vague and unconstitutionally vague and puts retailers authorized to accept, for instance, food stamp benefits through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the SNAP program, at risk of violating the rules if they go ahead and sell it without the tax.
That's correct, because if you're on the SNAP program, you won't have to pay the tax. But again, it's such a fine line between what's considered a sugary drink and what is not. Some of these even have like 5% sugar, like this Dole Cranberry. They're saying, how is that fair? Because the rest of the 95% of the drink is not sweetened.
And they had somebody on the opening bell this morning who said there's inconsistencies. Like if you buy a bottled Frappuccino drink, that one's going to be taxed. But if you order a Frappuccino and they make it behind the counter, that doesn't get the tax.
That's stupid.
Or fountain drinks, too. Yeah. And then some places, whether it's a 7-Eleven or whatever it would be, allows you free refills.
Yeah.
So do you go back and you retax on that? Them, yeah.
So like the morning Diet Coke that I occasionally whip through the McDonald's drive-through for the Rock and Roll McDonald's on Ontario is now $37.50. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
It's a penny per ounce, but think about that. So for 8 ounces, okay, 8 cents.
8 ounces.
But if you buy a 2-liter or if you buy a case of soda pop or anything sweetened like this, it's just extremely vague. So they're going to hear the motion this morning and possibly halt that, but that is set to go into
And this is not day. An effort, just so we're clear, this is not an effort to try to forcibly keep the city healthy or the county healthy. This is a revenue stream.
Oh, this is a complete revenue stream. Absolute cash cow.
What are you doing in the big story?
A big story is going to be Eddie Johnson, who joined us on the program about 40 minutes ago, addressed everything from the transparency within the police department and increasing officers on the L on the bikes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You are really nuts, you know it? These days they're gonna come over here and just lock you up.
You lay off of me.
You are playing with full deck units. I think you done sprung a leak in your dinghy. Boy, the problem, Eunice, is it your time of month or something? You ride the cop. Look at me, Eunice.
you better say them now.
You can see Carol Burnett nightly on MeTV here in Chicago and around the country, as a matter of fact. And 50th anniversary of the debut of the show. How about that? And I took my mom to see Carol at the Chicago Theater, and she told a great story from one of the questions in the audience about Vicky sending her a letter, mm-hmm. and that's how she met Carol, and Carol came out to see Vicky. Vicky Lawrence joins us now. Nice to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? You know, you can see Mama's Family on MeTV now, too.
That's exactly right.
Did you know that?
I did, and you got some very important health-wise to share with us, but I was just telling the story about Carol talking about when she met you, and she was, you know, she told a very funny version of how her husband goes, "We're going where?" And she said, there's a girl I've got to see. Was it your high school graduation show, or what was it?
No, it was a contest. It was called Miss Fireball, and they held it at, it was for the, you know, Fireman's Ball. And they wanted some girls to sing and dance, so they called it a contest, you know. And they held it at Hollywood Park, which they're now tearing down to build the new Rams Stadium. But back in the day, Hollywood Park, you know, the racetrack, and her husband said on the way down to see me, he said, "What the hell is she, a jockey?" She said, "You know what? She said, I'm pregnant. I have a hunch. Just come with me."
Turns out it worked out okay. She, you know, she also in that show talked about what a big deal Harvey Korman was, especially for you early on. Was he particularly nice in helping you along, or what was that story?
He was. He was such a mentor to me. I mean, I honestly feel like he taught me most everything I know about comedy, and I feel like, you know, it was like having a private, too. It was like going to the Harvard School of Comedy in front of America.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, Harvey was, he was just such a team player, you know, and comedy was very serious business to Harvey. So I was such a geek. I think it was either train me or kill me. And being the team player, he said, "I'm going to teach her to be a comedian."
God bless Harvey. He's passed on, of course. Tim Conway and Harvey did a tour for years. And probably 10 years ago, Tim was on the show. And we had to tape an interview. And we got to the end of the interview. So keep in mind, it's on tape. We got to the tape the interview, and near the end of the interview, I go, "Hey, Tim, I'm sorry. I don't have the plug in front of me." And he goes, "Well," he goes, "we're going to be at the Paramount in Aurora at," what? "At 2? At 2? Damn it, Harvey, I'm not dead yet. What do we mean we're doing a show at 2? I love Tim Conway, and I loved Harvey Korman together. And Carol doing that show was tremendous as well.
Yes.
Well, you had yourself quite a little family there, and I know they're still extended family.
They are. They are. And as you mentioned, I think you mentioned the 50th anniversary is coming up. I think we're going to do something in October. Carol does not show what they're going to do yet, but CBS is going to do something.
And
it's hard to believe.
And pardon me for not knowing this, but what is Lyle Waggoner up to these days?
Lyle is the best story of all. He's happily retired in the Grand Teton in Jackson Hole. When he left the Burnett Show, it was about midway through the run, about season 7, I think, and he went off to be Linda Carter's leading man in Wonder Woman. So he left CBS, which is a fully enclosed studio. You know, the dressing rooms, the stages, everything are all under, you know, one roof. And he went to a film studio. He went to Universal to shoot Wonder Woman. So all of a sudden, he's in a trailer for a dressing room. He went to the bosses. He said, "I don't love my trailer. If I bought myself a trailer that I like, will you lease it back from me?" And they said, "Sure, no problem." And thus was born the company Star Wagons.
Oh, you're
wagons
kidding.
Filled with 2 G's.
He's the honey wagon guy?
Film set. You'll see them on every set, everywhere that they're shooting. You see Star Wagon. Yeah. Smarter than all
That's
of
brilliant.
Us. Happily retired.
Good for him. What a good story that is. Texter from the 708 says, Roseanne's talking about bringing her show back. Would you ever do a reboot of Mama's Family?
I would love to. Like a Netflix reboot or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
One
of my favorite shows. Vicky, you're amazing and talented and great. One of my favorite things, though, was when you guys would break character. Would you try to make each other laugh? Would you try to mess each other up? And just, was that like kind of a nightly thing with you guys? You and Tim and Carol?
You know, I think everybody else had such a good time doing it. Well, I mean, we were all rehearsers except for Tim. Tim was just such a troublemaker. He just lived to destroy everybody. I don't think I didn't do much of that until at least until Mama came along, which is midway through the run of the Burnett Show, because I didn't really feel that I had earned the right to play with the grown-ups in the sandbox. No, so it was a lot of years before I did any of that wreaking havoc.
Tim Conway, 12 forever. All right, now you've been traveling around the country talking to people about a very serious health situation called chronic idiopathic, and I think this is right, urticaria, is that right?
Well, that's just sort of not even close, Steve, but nice try.
You tell him.
CIU, yeah. What is the name?
Excellent effort. Now, it's chronic idiopathic urticaria.
Ah, there it is.
Chronic, meaning that it has now lasted for 6 or more weeks. Idiopathic, meaning the doctor cannot tell you why it's happening. And urticaria is a fancy doctor word for hives. And I was diagnosed about 7 years ago now. I broke out in hives. I assumed, as you would, that it was an allergic reaction to something I ate or something, some soap I had changed. I went to my allergist, who said, yes, most everybody breaks out in hives at some point in their lives. We'll get it under control. You won't even think about it again. I'm like, do I need to go get all the scratch tests now? What's going on? He said, no. He said, we'll get it under control. You won't even think about it again. Anyway, 6 weeks later, after trying everything you can think of that you would do for an allergic reaction, he says, I'm going to diagnose you with CIU. Well, I had never heard such a mouthful. And, I, of course, went home and looked it up on the Internet, which we all do now.
Sure.
And didn't find any good information other than a lot of people that were, really frustrated, looking for answers and asking a lot of questions. My doctor, fortunately, was very familiar with the condition, and we were able to put a treatment plan together for me, which has kept the hives under control. They're controllable. They're not curable for those of us who have this condition. And come to find out, there are 1.5 million of us in the country that do have this condition. So I had a chance a few years ago to put my face on this website and help with this program, CIUNU. And CIUNU.com is the website, and it's supported by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. It's made possible by Genentech and Novartis. It's a great educational website for people who are searching for answers, who may think this is them. And it's got downloadable materials and lots of good information to hopefully help them on the path to a diagnosis if they think that this is.
Yeah, I mean, there could be people listening right now and go, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, there's something to bring up to your
doctor.
You know
what? Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. And I cannot tell you how many interviews I've done where the stage manager will rip his headset off and go, my God, this is my mother. I have to call her.
How about that?
You know, I've talked to people that have just been looking for years for answers, that have kept diaries and notebooks. And, it's because it's such a little known thing. So my mission, I think, is to just sort of get that acronym out there. Like when you hear CIU and you say, God, I think I saw Vicky talking about this.
Yeah.
Just get it out there so people know. Go get on the web and look for us and get some good information to help yourself get to a diagnosis.
Spread that word and look for Vicky Lawrence and all your friends from the Carol Burnett Show this fall for the big 50th and that reboot on Nickelodeon, which we're all going to get walk-ons.
Well, I'll get on that. I'll get on that.
Yeah, make that call. Thank you very much, as always. She's great.
Love Vicky Lawrence.